The Continental Divide Trail is a national scenic trail. It runs from Canada to Mexico, about 3,100 miles. The part that Montana Wilderness Association looks after is nearly 1,000 miles and essentially bookmarked between Glacier National Park and Yellowstone National Park, and encompasses, of course, a little bit of Wyoming, Idaho, and the majority of Gulf in Montana.
What specifically do you do then?
So we run a volunteer program. The trail itself is not complete. Overall, between all five states, it's about 75, 78% complete, depending on what data you look at. And in Montana and Idaho, the northern 1,000 miles, it's actually the least complete region or section of the entire trail, and we're sitting at about 58% complete. So my job is to rally the support of local communities, clubs, and work with individual volunteers to partner with Forest Service and other agencies, including Park Service and BLM, to help complete the trail.
Ms. Frakes, we're here to talk about what's being described as a trail maintenance crisis at the Forest Service. What sort of crisis are we looking at here?
So when we talk about backlog, I'm very familiar with the Marshall Wilderness. And in that location, probably a third of the trails see annual maintenance every year, and the other two-thirds don't see annual maintenance. Maybe they're visited every 5 years. If we're lucky, they're visited every other year, but some of them haven't seen maintenance for up to 20 years.
When we're on the ground on these trails, what are you talking about? Blowdowns? What?
It can be a handful or a variety of different maintenance features that need attention. Blowdown is, I guess, the most obvious when you're walking on a trail or you're riding on a trail and you can't get through the corridor. It's normally because there's trees on the trail. Every spring, we have to go in early along with Forest Service trail crews and just cut that out for straight access. But then after that, there could be brush growing over the trail that we need to cut back, and that can creep and creep and creep. And if that's not visited every year or every other year, that becomes an impediment to traveling on the trail. At the same time, you don't just build a house, for example, and then leave it. There's repair and maintenance costs to that. So the same when you're looking at a trail, when you build it, erosion and water are the number one culprits of destroying or wiping out a trail. And as you know, we live in Montana, we live in the mountains, and that snowmelt every year pulls those trails down the mountain every year, and they want to take them back to what they once were. But to make them safe and to Forest Service standards, we have to get in there and create erosion control mechanisms to keep those trails sustainable and more economically feasible for us down the road.
And public demand for use of these trails is rising?
Absolutely. No matter what the user group is, there's a rise in all of it, whether it's hiking, hunting, fishing, mountain biking, horse use. More and more people are getting out, especially looking, when you track that over a longer trend from the 70s, more people are getting out. We have issues within our society that I think are also pushing people out on the trail, whether that's just an escape to get unplugged, the obesity issue and finding new ways to get exercise and get outside. The trails are becoming a fun, new, exciting way to get outside while also making that a good adventure for people, too. It's not just running on a treadmill.
Okay, so federal dollars to maintain these trails is either shrinking or staying put. The trails are, I don't know, falling apart. That may be a bit dramatic, but suffering as a result then, right?
Absolutely.
So this has prompted some pretty unusual bedfellows to ask Congress to work this out. Some of the groups who sent this letter this week include the Montana Wilderness Association, the American Motorcyclist Association, Backcountry Horsemen of America, and the Wilderness Society, among many others. You just don't have sometimes multiple use and wilderness advocates teaming up on issues very often. What does that tell you?
Sometimes in adverse conditions or negative situations or facing a problem, that is the best uniting factor between some of these groups. And it's really great to see folks coming to the table. In my experience with the Montana Wilderness Association, they've been on the forefront working with motorized groups, horsemen groups, and conservation hiker groups, sort of these frenemies, if you will, and bringing them together to the table and finding alternative solutions that make the issues work. And I think this is another example of everyone getting together and coming together for a united force. Sometimes a conflict or a problem makes that happen, and I think that's a benefit.
And the letter that was sent out on behalf of these organizations this week asks Congress to consider several legislative proposals. One of them is create a National Forest Volunteer and Partnership Strategy. Tell us about it.
You bet. Pretty simple. If you don't have a plan or you don't have a strategy, you don't have a direction to move in. So just sitting down and making that plan, how are we going to make it work? Is it a certain number of hours that we want to strive for in every local district that involves volunteer work? I think there's a myriad of ways that we could approach that, and all we want to do is sit down and have that conversation and make a plan.
Require the Forest Service to study the expanded use of fire crews for trail maintenance.
Early season is a great time when folks are breaking in their boots and getting back in shape for the summer season. Let's put some fire crews out there and, you know, 1-2 punch and get in shape. Let's go get some exercise, stretch the legs whilst clearing some trail.
Fire crews are pretty busy, though, even early season these days, huh?
That's true. We do move them around quite a bit throughout the nation, but I don't know that we've maximized the resource that we have when they are in our local districts, and it'd be worth considering.
All right. Next recommendation, direct the Forest Service to adopt long-term solutions to legal liability concerns in order to support and facilitate use of partners and volunteers. Liability is a serious issue to consider.
Absolutely. And it's something as an organization working with volunteers that we also have to consider. So we understand, and a lot of the other signatories that have signed on as well probably understand the details that go in that. But again, if you don't have a plan, we don't have an approach, and we don't have a goal. So let's sit down, let's talk about what works for everybody and figure out what liability hoops we need to jump through, and let's do it.
And the final suggestion here, study a proposal to permit outfitters and guides to partially offset their fees through trail maintenance. What's that mean?
So the time that outfitters use to cut out trails to get into their favorite camps and bring clients into the backcountry, can we make that an incentive program that helps offset some of their outfitter fees?
Any feedback at all from this, or is it just too soon right now?
We'd like to see it happen. You know, of course, all of the groups are signing on, and that's the reason we want to see it happen. I think, you know, Forest Service also would like to have more resources than they do, so it's not a bully tactic. I think all we're saying is, hey, let's sit down and let's all get on the same page. You know, with the program I work with, CDT Montana, I've been super fortunate to work with local district managers that have greased the wheels, that have embraced our program, are very appreciative of our volunteer program, and those districts that have opened that door for us have seen a lot more accomplishment, and we're growing our program needs in their areas or our program solutions. There are other places that don't grease the wheels quite as well, and I think just that strategy or that goal across all of those districts so we have some consistency is what we're asking for.
Last point, and that would be, I get the feeling this is a pretty time-sensitive issue for advocates of this, that it just can't go up on a shelf somewhere and sit there and collect dust.
You know, I think when you look at the state of our trails right now, we could still get on top of things, but there comes a point when they become so deteriorated or they need so much attention, the cost of restoring a vehicle would be more than buying a new vehicle would be one way to look at it. So at this point, we need to make a plan. We need to get out there. We need to start investing in this joint goal, or it's going to be more costly down the road, almost backsliding to try to pick up the ball and make it work and restore everything again.
Shannon Fricks, Montana Wilderness Association's Continental Divide Trails Program Manager. Thanks a lot for talking with us today.
Thanks for having me on. I sure appreciate your time.